is how it treats its women and girls. The smart, powerful, creative, accomplished young women.
We can fight.
I'm here because of you. I'm here because girls like you inspire me. Many of these girls have faced unthinkable obstacles.
Buckle up, buttercups. It's another episode of Surly Voices here on WMNF Tampa 88.5. My name is Liz. I'm one of your hosts. I'm expecting my co-host Donna to be here any second now. And wow, lots happening in the Supreme Court of Florida, folks. You may recall several weeks ago or months ago, we had a guest on the show talking to us about the proposed constitutional amendment that will protect abortion rights, and that the Supreme Court heard argument on the ballot language, which is what Ashley Moody was challenging the language of the proposed amendment, because she felt like it was very misleading and that Floridians could not read the plain language of the proposed amendment. And so argument was had at the Supreme Court, not as fireworky as I would have liked, and I also didn't see Ashley Moody up there arguing it. So, anyway, the Supreme Court on Monday issued its opinion on whether the constitutional amendment can proceed, and they said yes, it can proceed. So that's one piece of good news in a seemingly unending cycle of bad or depressing news. So this is something that is going to benefit all the women of Florida, this amendment, if passed. And if the statistics for Florida hold consistent with those in the rest of the United States, the majority of people are in favor of abortion access. So this is something that we are going to be talking about again and again and again and again. Another surprising opinion coming out of DeSantis's Supreme Court is the proposed ballot amendment to legalize recreational marijuana. And so those are both things we're talking about this morning. We'll also ripple out and talk about national elections like Trump's. Who could possibly be Trump's running mate? I think DeSantis has pretty much put the kibosh on that for himself, because he dared to go and challenge Trump. And so do we think that Nikki Haley is a possibility, since she's been challenging him from the outset? Let's talk about that too. If you want to give us a call 813-239-9663. If you can't call but you want to have a voice in here, let's say email dj@wmnf.org. So what kinds of things do we expect now? My prediction, and let me issue this early disclaimer up top. The opinions expressed on Surly Voices are those of Surly Voices and not those of WMNF 88.5 or its employees or its affiliates. So, this is what I think is going to happen. I think that we will get to the ballot box. The proposed amendment will be there. A majority of us will vote for it. And then the Florida legislature will do what has done in the past with the last Amendment 4, which was to let felons who have served their time to let them be able to vote again. So that passed overwhelmingly by popular vote. And then the legislature found all kinds of ways to make it not actually attainable for a lot of people by imposing fees and things like that. So I'm expecting very much the same, unless we can do like a total takeover of the Florida legislature. And so that's another thing that we can talk about. So give us a call, 813-239-9663. You can email to dj@wmnf.org. We are talking about the recent Florida Supreme Court opinions allowing ballot access for the issues of recreational marijuana and, even more important, of abortion access. And if you've looked at any of the charts that are out in the wild about states that have either severely restricted or are looking to severely restrict abortion, in fact, on CNN I saw an article that has a map about the current status of abortion access across the United States. And here in Florida, we have at present a 15-week ban. But now that the Florida Supreme Court has said, yes, we can do that 15 weeks. Now, a 6-week ban is going to go into effect. And the only thing that has a chance of overturning that is a constitutional amendment. And so this is why it's important to look at how things are going in the Supreme Court, in the legislature, because things that we have now precedent for the fact that something can be overwhelmingly agreed upon by the citizens of the state of Florida and a relative handful of mostly older white men can take that and just undo it by attaching artificial loopholes into it. So I believe it will pass, and I believe that the legislature will do its best to gut the protections that are in it. And so that's a fight that we are going to be having before it's all over with. So let's see. Let's talk about Nikki Haley. Is she still in? Is she still out? And do we think that Trump is going to take her up as his nominee? Because for all intents and purposes, we're looking at the rematch of Trump and Biden. So let's see. Do we think Nikki Haley has burned her bridges? I think he genuinely does not like DeSantis. And so it's really, really something that's going to... Oh, here she comes strolling in lilac with a scarf, no less. Oh, my gosh. So Donna, just to catch you up, we're talking about abortion access in Florida, recreational marijuana in Florida, and now we're talking about what we think Trump's going to do with his vice presidential pick. Got an email from Dave here. I've heard that Marjorie Taylor Greene was a possible pick.
Ew.
Yeah, really. Ooh is right. seems like he would pick Bobo Bombers. I don't know who Bobo Bombers are. Both are yuck. Yeah, I think Marjorie Taylor Greene is an appropriately obnoxious running mate, I think, and would certainly, and golly, is that her long game? Wow. She jumps in to the Georgia races, and then next thing you know, she's vice president. That would be a MAGA dream come true, which makes it, Dave, very possible. Dang, she wasn't even on my radar until you said this, Dave, but you are absolutely right. Wow. Donna, do you have any thoughts on that? Because I'm just shook here.
You know, I do.
Okay.
He would do well to choose Nikki Haley. I think that she'll get in line.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is a smart, well-educated woman who thinks for herself, albeit misguided as a Republican.
Yeah,
but
well,
I do believe that she can think for herself. And I also think that she could bring dim women that are on the fence about Biden.
Mm-hmm.
And conservative women who are educated and would like to see some dignity restored to the highest office in the land.
It's like Animal House at this point.
Crazy stuff.
I still say, Amy, Amy Klobuchar needs to appear at the Democratic convention and do a coup.
Well,
and she would be the next president.
She's such a loyal Democrat. I mean, I don't see her doing it. But right now, she is the president, I think, that would best fit the mood
of
the American public. I mean, she's to the right of both of us.
Right.
But you've got to put someone in that can get the job done, because we're so deeply divided, we're getting one of two things. We're getting someone who's asleep at the wheel, or someone who's asleep at the wheel but has sycophants around them that are suggesting to him that these are his ideas to do and say a lot of terrible things.
Right.
I don't think Donald Trump really cares about being president. I think he cares about winning. I think he
yes.
cares about one-upsmanship. I think he cares about it the way that a fourth grader would care about winning a race in the schoolyard. I don't see him as someone who has deep and abiding patriotic feelings
no,
that lead him
absolutely
to
not
to take this office.
Yeah. No, it's totally a matter of, oh, I need this. I'm going to win. I'm going to win this. I'm the most popular. I'm the best ever. And it's also about how much money Donald Trump can make for Donald Trump while he's, you know, in charge of the country. Let's talk to Larry in Sarasota. Hi, Larry.
Hey, good morning. Just to let you know, I'm a conservative white old male, so, and Christian on top of it. But that we're there, we know what we're talking about, right? I'm not abortion issue. I don't know why 3.5 months. Isn't just going to stick. That seems to be, that's 2 weeks into the second trimester. Cases of rape, incest, you know, all the way up to 9 months. You know, I don't know why people have to be so unreasonable.
And you're talking about the 15-week ban, but what about the 6-week ban, which is soon to come into effect?
I think that in six weeks, being that I've tried to make babies before, sometimes you don't even know you're pregnant.
Right.
Right. And that's the problem.
Let's be reasonable. And also, the morning after pill, okay, that works too. Go for it. You know, I mean, it's just, let's be reasonable. I don't know if anybody has said to themselves, man, I want to get pregnant so I can get an abortion. You know, it's one of those things that happens.
All right. Nobody sets out to get pregnant to have an abortion. What about, Larry, what about the women who get well into the second trimester, like at 20, 21, 22 weeks, and there's some kind of fatal condition with the fetus that if it reaches birth, it won't live very long after that?
Well, you know, at that stage of the game, you find out the baby's either mentally handicapped or mongoloid or whatever, and your choice is not to carry it through. You know, you should have that right. If the state wants to take away that right, then let's open up some places where you can drop that kid off, because I don't care how you state it, it's a burden your entire life. Because I've seen it where people struggle with these children, and then when they die, the kid winds up going into some type of institution anyway if they live that long.
Right.
So
I've seen that happen.
Yeah,
I'm not against that either. That's another, to me, that's reasonable. That's reasonable.
Okay. Yeah. So you're not like the staunch no abortions ever.
I don't actually know anybody that's staunch like you're talking about. And you know, because everybody has daughters, everybody knows that there's rape, everybody knows that things happen. So I don't know anybody like that. I just think that sometimes as a Christian, I can say straight up, you know, perhaps God will judge me on that at some point, but that's my opinion at this stage in the game. So
okay.
I wouldn't wish that on you or anybody else. And I know that girls that have had abortions have been guilty about it. They feel bad about it. They have to get over it sometimes. Some do, some don't. It's just the way it is. It's not a pretty picture in any society.
But, right.
Yeah.
It's a necessary evil.
Well, I don't want to call it an evil. It's a necessary.
Okay.
Very bad thing that happened to Kate. Right? I don't want to call anybody evil because something bad happens to them. They have to take care of them.
Okay. Gotcha.
And when it comes to President Trump, his running mate, you know, I've always been a big fan of Condoleezza Rice. Love that woman.
He would she would never work with him, I think. She's got too much integrity.
Well, she worked with Donald. She worked with George Bush.
Well, true. But, I mean, this is a whole nother level
Thank you, Larry, for calling in. Let me talk a little bit about Condoleezza Rice. So I got a close-up look at her when I was contemplating going to the Strum School of Law in Denver. That's her alma mater. Now, the story that she told, I think, in Time magazine was that she heard George Bush give a speech once in Texas. And he said that no child will be left behind.
Mm-hmm.
And that he called her and asked her, what can we do about kids that are not getting a good education? Like, how could we level the playing field here? You know, not in front of a camera, just completely, hey, called her up and said, what can we do about this? Now, you know, I don't want to be conspiratorial.
But that's my job.
But he could already have been looking at her for a future run.
Right.
And he wanted her to invest in his sincerity as someone who cared about people that were on the margins. I don't know. But she felt like, she's a smart woman. She felt like it was a sincere conversation. It was a sincere inquiry. And she said she never forgot that. So when she got the call to come and work for him, she said yes. Didn't she stay for both terms?
I believe she did.
Okay. So when you stay for one term, mm-hmm. it simply means that you don't want to abandon ship mid-mission.
Right.
When you stay for two terms,
you
that's an endorsement.
It. Yep.
And so At first blush, I thought, no, she would never work for him. But when I thought about that story, and I know even more things about her that would derail this topic, but it's amazing, you've never been in the room with Donald Trump. You don't know
or George Bush. You don't know how persuasive.
That's why they're politicians. Yeah.
These guys can be. And lots of really smart, well-educated people, like FBI people who are trained to detect lies, and they fell for it too. And they fell into Donald Trump's net. So there are lots of people out here saying, oh, you know, this man is so stupid. He's such an imbecile, or all of these, you know, horrible things that they're saying. But he is tricking a lot of smart people.
Right.
And their careers are gone.
Right. Yeah.
So there's that.
All right. Let's talk to Jennifer in Spring Hill. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi. Well, I think that that gentleman that was just on was, you know, indicative of what we have in the patriarchal society. And I feel like, you know, if you don't want to have an abortion, you don't have one. I don't like that our bodies would be legislated one bit. And another thing, I also think that in democracy, we should have a freedom of choice. And I take offense as a Green Party member that Democrats feel like I have to vote their way or I'm voting for Donald Trump.
Exactly. Yes.
I take offense to that because I'm a pacifist. We're pacifists. We're not going to vote for the war in Gaza. We're not going to vote for the whole thing of like ripping up Ukraine just to have a proxy war with Russia. We do not agree with that. So we will vote for a woman, Jill Stein. We need a woman for a change. I mean, it's been, 46 males and mostly white, almost all white. And even the one that was black was half white. So, I mean, it's like, I just don't even understand why we can't get past this fear and loathing voting of, you know, just voting for the least worst, the least repulsive, the least evil. I mean, it's
because we keep doing it. We as Americans keep doing it. We keep it.
And we
complain about it every time and nothing gets better because they know that we will fall in line, whoever they tell us to vote for. Yes.
And yes. And not only that, but it's like it's getting worse. We're, instead of getting like just staying, it's just staying, neutrally bad. It's getting worse and worse every year. I mean, Donald Trump King. I mean, he's like a... It's unreal that that even happened. But why? It happened because the candidates keep getting worse. I mean, we've run candidates. They're like, they love to blame the Greens. Like, oh, we're the spoilers. Well, libertarians run all the time, too. And you don't hear that spoiler thing on them so much. But another thing is the fact that we've been running since 1996. And we have to keep running presidential candidates or we lose ballot access in some states. And it's really hard to get ballot access.
Mm-hmm.
Right now I'm running for school board. I got to get 2,000 signatures. And, that's like 50 a day to qualify. Right. I mean, these things, it's not easy just to run for office.
Right. Plus,
party
money. Money. Everybody,
So we ran Ralph Nader a couple times. And Bill Clinton won. But then when Gore didn't win, it was our fault. And then when Obama won... It was fine, but we had Cynthia McKinney, who was an African-American who had been in Congress longer than Obama had. She was in the U.S. Congress as a representative for Georgia for 12 years. And Obama had only served as a senator for six. So you know what I mean? It's like, why aren't you blaming us?
Right.
When you don't say anything, but if you put a bad candidate that people don't really like... People like them.
Okay. But I have a lot of things to say. Thank you, Jennifer, for calling.
Have a great rest of your day.
You too.
Bye-bye. Bye.
I have a lot of things to say about Jennifer dumped a lot of stuff in there. Third party candidates. Like you have to keep running candidates. Yeah, yada, yada, yada. You have to become viable. You have to figure out how to communicate with the electorate in a way that you become viable. As long as, I don't care whether it's Rand Paul and company, I don't care whether it's Nancy Jacobson's over at No Labels that is thinking of running Sam Wasterson from some crime show, she says last year...
Sam Waterston. Oh, Jack McCoy on Law & Order.
Sam Waterston.
Yes.
Right? That's it.
It took a minute.
She's thinking of running... I'm sitting here looking right at it. She said that she will end the effort of the party, No Labels, if it means risking a Trump win. Doesn't sound like No Labels to me.
Yeah.
And I think that's mostly foolishness with a veneer of silliness. try it so hard all the time. I'm just sitting over here like, I need a bigger microphone. And think that this is a red version of the greens.
Right.
Right. So Jill Stein, Dr. Jill Stein, I want to make sure that we're honoring women properly for their achievements. Dr. Jill Stein, just like Dr. Jill Biden, I hear a lot of Jill Bidens out there. Dr. Jill Stein is a very bright woman. But if you are a candidate, maybe, and I don't think she was, and you're running for a C party, you become a C. So the way that she showed up in front of the Greens was there's a very loose platform. It's like we're the other not Democratic Party is not a platform. That's number one. Number two, no labels is just pure foolishness. And I don't believe that. Let's see, this is a United We Stand party, the American party, the Unity 08 party. A majority of Americans say they want an alternative to the duopoly, but they reject the third party every time it appears. And that's what it appears to be on the outside. However, I dissent. I believe that until the third party, if you had someone who was highly credible, and this is the problem, because they're looking at people who are a part of the machine to come over to the third party and say, I'm an alternative. It doesn't work like that. You can't come out of the swamp and say you're going to drain the swamp like most of the people in D.C., right? Democrat or Republican. Let's keep it real. So if the third party has to come out with someone who has the credibility of an Amy Klobuchar, the perceived ability to work across the aisles and to entertain ideas when they're good and not when they're glued to the party, you know, ethos. When we get there, I think that we'll have that viable third party. Part two. After this election, however it goes, whether Joe Biden, President Joe Biden wins again, or whether Trump is 45 and 47. I think that's, I'm so naughty. I think that we will be primed for that viable third party. But who steps into that lurch is going to make a difference on whether it sticks or not.
Very interesting. So we're going to need to brainstorm later. Let's talk to Deanna in Largo. Hi, Deanna.
Hi, it's wonderful to be on with you today.
Hey.
And I just thought it would be interesting to have, so you had your white male perspective, and I was so happy to hear that someone in his position is open-minded.
Yes, I was very surprised by that.
I was very refreshed, and I am also a practicing Christian, but I'm a Democrat. And I have often said that that pro-life and pro-choice are synonymous. And when people can't realize that no woman goes and has an abortion on a whim.
Right.
And until we have no hungry, throw-away children, when the foster homes are empty and the juvenile system, those children are empty, then you can put abortion somewhere on the list of important things. But right now, there's so much energy going on to children that in our belief, this is what just blows my mind. They're going straight to heaven. Before all major incidents in our Bible, there were killings of babies and with Moses and with Jesus. And, you know, this is not something new in our society. I'm sorry to say, but civilization has grown. And unfortunately, there has been killing of babies. And our situation is totally different. But I think that that it's great that that's on the ballot and the marijuana thing on the ballot. And I think the Democrats are going to come through, but it's those two reasons. And I just wish, I'm saying this, I live in a house with a Republican husband, 30 years now. We have learned to live together and communicate. And I just want that for our United States. I'm heartbroken.
Yeah.
I'm heartbroken. The divide that has
manifested, and it's an illness right now. It's to the point where you cannot even have a conversation. Mm-hmm. I mean, they used to say, don't talk about religion and politics. Now, it's for your safety.
Yeah. Safety. Can't even talk about Beyonce on the internet.
Can't even talk about it. I mean, I don't want to take up too much time, but we have got to get back to united people. And I like I say, I've lived with a Republican for 30 years now. We're going on 30 years. We have heated discussions. We have understandable conversations. Right. And we sometimes I sway him, mm-hmm. and sometimes he has swayed me. I did vote for Jeb Bush.
Yeah. Thank you so much for calling.
Thanks so much, Deanna.
Okay. And I just wanted a different perspective that there are Democrats who feel the same way, that we all need to just love each other.
Okay.
Thank you. So I have a lot of things to say, but I'm only going to say a couple things.
I know I can read your mind. I know what it is. Go ahead.
So what happens in end-stage capitalism, some of these deep divisions, they're not just because people, it's not just because of the internet. It's more complex than that. When one group of people sets themselves against another group of people, and they use those people essentially as drawer liner to make their lives easier, paying folks a subsistence, social stigma and caste systems, after a while, all of those conditions, social conditions, take their toll. People decide that in order to be safe, I have to be around people that are like me. Mm-hmm. I have to keep the company of people who are ideologically homogenous. And so people begin to take these camps to protect themselves. I think a great number of people like yourself and your husband love each other, but you have different worldviews. And that's rooted in so many things, upbringing, socioeconomic status, like the way your brain is designed. You know, I saw a study that said that people who are Democrats, I think I could better phrase that by saying that people who think that we should have equality in a society have different brains than the survival of the fittest folks. You can decide which box the parties tend to lean toward, right?
Yes.
I won't frame them that way. I'll let you guys do that for yourselves. And so there's so many reasons that people take their different sides. If you listen to the Indigo Girls, they would say it's the evil ego and the vice of pride, right? Mm. And certainly those things play into it. But when we say we should all love each other, that takes me back to the BLM years where people were saying, why can't we all just get along?
Right.
Because we have to lift the conditions that create the divisions. And so when you start to look at the conditions that underlay these conditions, the systemic abuses that have gone on for centuries, the colonization, the idea that certain people are deserving of things and others are not, that someone should have a jet while someone struggles to get across town to their job. That mentality is what creates the divisions, not just because people are mean and they don't love each other.
Right. Well, and to say that we have been united in the past and so divided now, we were never truly united
Come
in
on.
The past.
Right.
Yeah. And so it's like, you know, maybe looking through it from your particular lens, you might have perceived that.
No, they didn't, because they watched. They watched people that are of a certain age watch Charlie Bunker in the All in the Family.
Archie right? Bunker,
and
yes.
All in the Family,
yes,
right,
yes.
He was the embodiment of where America was.
Right,
right. There was never a time. Did you see people throwing acid on kids in pools? Did you realize that last week we had the anniversary of when women could have a credit card without a man's permission? Right? Do you remember that we just had the anniversary of when women were given suffrage? And that was long before Black people were given suffrage. So
right.
When did this unified country exist? It's rooted in capitalism.
Yes.
And it's dying. Mm-hmm. And I think people have to come to terms with that. But it's hard to see your horse in the race fall to the wayside and think that my future is going to be the one that I never had to suffer. Y'all better start thinking about
why we're in the situation we're in instead of just decrying the circumstance.
All right. You're listening to Surly Voices on WMNF Tampa 88.5. We are discussing abortion access, recreational marijuana access. We are discussing all the potential vice presidential candidates that Trump has to choose from. And I'm seriously thinking Marjorie Taylor Greene is going to be the way he goes. That's never going to leave the back of my mind.
I think so.
Give us a call at 813-239-9663, or you can email to dj@wmnf.org.
So let's talk about medical marijuana. I know the lines are going to light up because people love this topic. You guys love this topic. I do too. So the medical marijuana, it's already hard to get weed in Florida. The Supreme Court is allowing a referendum on marijuana in November. Right now, you have to apply for a doctor's, you have to apply for a license or you have to get a doctor's prescription.
Mm-hmm.
And so if this amendment passes, we will have recreational marijuana where in like New York and all of the other places in semi-civilization. I mean, it's still in the United States. So we're kind of wild. We're kind of feral over here. Ask a few Europeans. They'll be like, what is going on in the United States of America? So it's hard for us to get marijuana here. And when you do get marijuana, when you go through all of these hoops and you get this certification, this medical marijuana license, you can't see my air quotes, you get to go to one of these
dispensaries.
They're all brand new, so they're getting loans to do this, right? These are going to turn into chains like Sunnyside. I went to a Sunnyside dispensary in Chicago. There's now Sunnyside here. Except the marijuana, cannabis, weed, whatever you'd like to call it, the devil's lettuce, that is being sold in Florida is low THC marijuana. Let me tell you something, because I've been going around the country sampling the wares. All right. I got some cannabis in Arizona, Vermont, New York, California. I have lots of Colorado stuff. I have it. Okay. And let me tell you that, first of all, what they're selling in Seattle and California feels more like opiates than, than marijuana. I mean, it really takes just a psychedelic blend, the goober galactic.
Yeah, I wouldn't want something like that. No, just give me regular weed.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of out there. So here's what I think. I think that we got to get 60% on these amendments, right, in order to enshrine cannabis as legal to people over a certain age in the state of Florida. And I think that right now, let me look at my numbers here, guys, because I do like to give you good information. It says here that 76% of Florida voters support legalization. A poll from UNF says that 67%. Now, that 76% was a 2022 number. Let's be clear. A poll from UNF says that 67% of voters support it. 71% of voters green-lighted medical in 2016. That was the percentage of the voting electorate that green-lighted medical marijuana in 2016. And since we'll need 60% of voters to approve this one, we'll have to wait and see. Because the Florida electorate has changed so much since 2016. If you'll recall, and we'll give you two frames. In one frame, people are marching in the streets from Duval County all the way to Broward, Miami-Dade County, right? And even in the corners, Manatee, even in Port St. Lucie.
Mm-hmm.
So in Tallahassee. So at all four corners, if we have corners, because we're kind of like shaped like a gun. Shocker. That we were marching in the streets for not just Black liberation, but for immigrants and for women's rights to choose, people's rights to reproductive rights, and for What was the other thing? The Muslim ban. Remember all of the things?
Yes.
Okay. So we were marching in the streets all over the state in 2016. I remember getting a call from Miami saying, what's going on in Tampa? Because the crowds were so big.
Right.
Proud to say that. I was probably the lead organizer on that stuff.
Yes.
Now, roll forward to 2024. I don't even know what year it is anymore. COVID stopped all that. I can't orient to space and time. The number one destination, by some accounts, for young Republicans is Tampa, Florida. The housing market's completely unaffordable for the average earner.
It is, yeah.
Florida income, a few thousand dollars below the national median. We have terrible transportation problems all throughout the state. And if you guys are unaware of it, it's not just a money issue. Florida has plenty of money.
Mm-hmm.
It's an allocation issue like most tax issues are. And it's a deliberate design on behalf of people who want neighborhoods to remain cordoned off, even though they need the workers
right.
to come and iron their curtains and their bedsheets. They don't want those people to have those people. I said that on purpose, to have access to certain areas. And so there isn't really good transportation.
Yeah.
They don't want, in Florida, the powers that be and the NIMBY folks don't want everybody to go everywhere. So when you look at the landscape that we're on now versus 2016, it could be very difficult with the Moms of Liberty out in the wild talking. These people have very large microphones. And then there's voter disenfranchisement. If you don't request your vote by mail, and this is a PSA, guys, if you don't request your VBM, every general election, it's going to be gone.
Mm-hmm.
So if you voted in the last general election, and I don't know if that counts for this one, but I got a message from Susan Smith, formerly with the Progressive Dems of Hillsborough, saying you need to go in and request. It's a very quick process if you have a link. We'll put it on the Surly Voices site tonight. You can go in and say, hey, I want to get this for all elections up until the next general election. So with voter disenfranchisement, the socioeconomic landscape changing, the big microphone that a lot of the hate groups have, it could be a more of an uphill climb than I think abortion reproductive rights will be. I expect to see abortion rights enshrined sometime early next year after this Amendment 4 goes up in November. I do not have the same high hopes. Look at me this morning for marijuana.
High hopes. I think there's a lot of stoners that would be motivated to go vote.
Yeah, but will they though?
Let's talk to Carl in Dunedin. Hi, Carl.
Hey, good morning. Enjoy your show.
Thank you.
Thanks, Carl.
I have to laugh because my family goes back to the 60s when they so-called legalized medical marijuana. I said, the state of Florida, I mean, millionaires run the state of Florida.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So until they got the game rigged, you know, so that the only producers are wealthy people and they raise the cost to the average person. So now it's a mess, and it's unfortunate, and I hope they legalize it, and they're talking about like a 3-pound limit anyway, I just wish the state would get out of the marijuana business.
Well, they can tax it, so.
Let people grow it and, let people purchase it. You know, without all the encumbrances that they have created. Mm-hmm. That's my
right.
comment.
All right. Thanks so much for calling, Carl.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. So we are headed into the home stretch here. You're listening to Surly Voices on WMNF Tampa 88.5. We're talking about abortion access, medical marijuana, recreational marijuana access on the ballot. And we're also talking about Trump's potential nominee for vice president. I'm going to catch up on some emails real quick. Trump has to win. If he doesn't, he may spend the rest of his life behind bars. Nikki isn't an election denier, so Trump will never pick her. He'd rather have someone who will defend his stolen election theory after this election, someone like Elise Stefanik or Carrie Lake.
Hmm.
Let's see. Why is it okay to perform genocide on babies, but not with abortion? Well, that's, yes, that's a lot to unpack there, Victoria. But speaking of, it's like, is Biden digging his own grave by not pulling support? Yeah. Because there's a lot of people upset about that.
A lot of people, and it's showing up in these, air quote, protest votes around the country.
Right. It's like, okay, either you're for the underdog or you're not. And if you say you're for the underdog, but you're giving the overdog all these weapons, how strong is your support? So that's deep thoughts, yeah. Let's see. This is from Cece. If anyone really wanted to prevent abortions, they would make them unnecessary through Planned Parenthood, equal pay, job protection, and health care. Yes, ma'am. For the few left, the government should not be involved in personal, heart-wrenching religious slash spiritual freedoms and medical direction decisions. The fact that is many abortions are because we know women won't get hired, promoted, or keep their jobs while they have children. I have heard managers say how smart they think they are for avoiding these young women. Disgusting. Yes. Let's see. Oh, here comes Victoria again. What if Trump chooses Candace Owens?
You know, I could see him doing something
yeah.
like that.
I guess Omarosa kind of blew up her chance this go round.
I think that, let me just stop right there. I know we only have a few minutes, but I think that makes sense to me. Is that Victoria?
Where?
That said that.
Yes, Victoria.
Okay. All right,
that.
So Victoria, I think that makes sense. I think that right now, and I've been warning you guys about this for the better part of a year, that the black vote is in question, as is Muslim Arab votes and sympathizers with Palestinians. So because of that, and remember, the way that Barack Obama got elected in 2007, really, was that he got hordes of unlikely voters, to quote Abraham Lincoln, to come to the polls.
Mm-hmm.
What kills any candidate is when you have serious drop-off in any one of the anticipated groups.
Right.
So when you see those, the reason why people said, oh, you know, Hispanics are going to be the largest population of minorities in the country by X years. And so that happened already in Florida, right? Like, it's a thing. However, they cannot be relied upon as safely as the black vote, which is almost lockstep until recent years, where we see some drop off with black men. We saw severe drop off amongst black women. It only needs 2 or 3 percentage points, mm-hmm. right, in a population. We saw that in the 2016 that DeSantis was elected. We saw that, I think 18. We saw that drop off amongst black women voters who were supporting school choice. So right now, I think there's some, there's the black vote, as Dems normally receive it in a general election, is imperiled.
Yeah, absolutely.
We saw the numbers of what that 13% looked like the other day with people voting for Nikki Haley got 13% of the vote in mm-hmm. one of these states. And I got a lot of stuff in my head. I can't think of it right now, but you guys can Google it. And that's significant. And that's why I think, because he has to win, like one of our callers said, his antics won't work here. He has to choose someone like a Candace Owens, like a Nikki Haley, that's going to bring more of that already imperiled vote to his ticket. He has to be strategic here. He's not so feral that he doesn't know that.
Yeah. Let's talk to Sierra in Tampa. Hi, Sierra.
I love your show, and I just wanted to contribute. I've been voting for 24 years, and I've been voting Democratic, and this is the first time in my adult life since the year 2000 that I don't think I'm going to vote for the Democratic nominee because I don't agree with what's happening and what my money and my taxpaying dollars are going towards.
Right.
The war right now, and I'm in shock, and a lot of my friends are feeling the same way. All of us are going to try to vote uncommitted during the primaries because I want President Biden to wake up and realize that our taxpayer dollars should not be funding a genocide and that we need a ceasefire right now. And I don't know how else to make my voice be heard other than to not vote for him. And I have never in my life felt this way, that I could even stand 4 more years of Donald Trump because I don't want to be at war right now.
Right.
I don't know what else to do. I'm just very lost in this election, and I cannot believe that we're facing the exact same thing we had 4 years ago. We have no choice here. It's
exactly
insane to me.
Are you in the, may I ask if you're in the, which age range you're in?
I'm 42. I'm registered Democrat. I've been for 24 years. Mm-hmm. And I am voting uncommitted. I hope that President Biden takes that seriously, the wave across the country.
Mm-hmm.
I hope he demands a ceasefire and that we stop funding this genocide. It has to stop. The UN has ordered that this needs to stop. We are going against directives from the UN. I don't understand what's happening anymore, and I do not support this. And the only way I can think of to fight it is I'm not paying my taxes. And I am not voting for President Biden unless there is a ceasefire now. Like, I cannot put my money or my heart towards something I absolutely do not believe in and goes against everything this country stands for.
Thank you so much, Sierra.
Thank you.
Okay.
I just hope people wake up and vote and pay attention to what's going on and, like, the world. I know so many people who aren't voting, and I just, it's our right in this country. We have the freedom and the right to vote. And if you give up that freedom and that right, like, you have no say. So please
right.
vote, people.
Thank you, Sierra.
Thank you, Sierra.
Now, y'all.
See, this is what I'm talking about.
You can hear Sierra's heart is on her sleeve, right?
Yes.
Literally, I could hear her heart in her voice. People are being fueled, and I heard her say, I'm being forced to this action, including a civil disobedience.
Right.
Because you are not representing me, and I will not be taxed without representation. I heard that. Did you hear that?
I absolutely heard it.
Okay.
And she's not the only one that feels that way.
Yes, ma'am.
I mean, shoot, I feel that way.
I do too.
I have.
I'm scared of the IRS. Board.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm still paying my taxes. Just let's. Yeah.
But the young
let
people,
me be
though,
clear.
You can't prosecute everybody. That's how movements work, right? You cannot arrest everyone. You cannot prosecute everyone. The IRS is almost defunct now, and the Republicans are looking to gut it. This is how countries implode.
Yes. But yeah. So there's just. Yeah. And now people are going to be, if you don't vote for, well, look where we are. We got the same people. Oh, and unfortunately, Frank just gave me the finger, so I'm not going to be able to get to these last two callers, DeAndre, sorry, and whoever's
DeAndre.
Calling. Yeah, DeAndre, you waited too late to call, man.
Moving where, though? I got to know.
Oh. Well, then make it quick, because...
DeAndre, where are you moving to? You got 10 seconds.
Oh, we're moving just to Riverview. And
See, I knew he was psyching you.
he said he did that to get on here.
All right. Sorry that we ran out of time today, DeAndre, but we'll talk to you next week, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Please listen next Thursday to Surly Voices on WMNF Tampa 88.5.
I like stunning, I like shining, I like million-dollar deals. Where's my pen? Bitch, I'm signing. I like those Balenciagas, the ones that look like socks. I like going to the Tula, I put rocks all in my watch. I like texts from my exes when they want a second chance. I like proving.